come to Thee this evening. And Lord, we rejoice again for another time of gospel opportunity. We thank the Lord for the wondrous story of the cross. And Heavenly Father, we pray that even tonight, through everything that would be said and done, Lord, that our eyes would be lifted to see Christ tonight. Lord, that weary souls would see Him. And Lord, tonight, that those in nature's darkness, Lord, that their eyes might be opened to behold the beauty and the loveliness of our Savior. Bless us, we pray. Help us in our worship tonight, we ask. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The hymn number 331, if you have a copy of our church hymn book. If not, then the words are on the screen. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace in the mansions bright and blessed. He'll prepare for us a place. 331. We'll keep our seats, please, as we sing this opening hymn. We'll unite our hearts together in prayer just to change your position. If you're able, we'll stand together, please, for a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful truth. For each one that's saved tonight, Lord, that we're going home to see the Savior. We're going in to see the King in all of His glory. And Lord, soon we'll walk those streets of gold. Lord, what a blessed hope is ours tonight. Lord, what a blessed assurance that this world is not our home. Lord, that one day we'll leave all the troubles and the tears and the trials of this old world behind. One day we'll see our Savior face to face. Oh Lord, what a glorious prospect is ours. For every blood-bought, redeemed child of God. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that as we, Lord, would worship Thee, Lord, as we would sing Thy praise, Lord, as our sister Sophie would minister to us in song. And Lord, as we come around the Word of God, we pray, Lord, that that truth will burn within our hearts. And the reality of that wonderful day that is yet ahead, Lord, will ever be brought before our eyes. Our Father, we pray tonight especially for those still in this meeting out of Christ, far from God, without hope. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that this night, Lord, that ere they leave this meeting, may they be able to say with the truth, Lord, that they are ready for heaven. Lord, speak, we pray. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you'll make this gospel meeting a very special night. Lord, make it a night, Lord, when the hearts of all thy dear people will be encouraged. And Lord, make it a night when the hearts of all those who are still out of Christ, that they'll be challenged, that they'll be convicted. And Lord, by thy Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that they would be converted. Lord, bless, we pray. Lord, we thank thee for your goodness to us another day. We thank thee, Lord, for your presence with us already. And so, Heavenly Father, we look to thee. Come amongst us, come upon us. Today, we pray. And Lord, in this meeting, may we have a very real sense that God is amongst us. Remember our sister Sophie, Lord, as you would come and minister to us in song. We thank thee, Lord, for the talents and the gifts that you've given to her. Lord, bless her tonight. May she feel entirely at home amongst us here in Sandown. Give her great help in the ministry and song, we pray. And Lord, bless the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we realize it'll come in the weakness of man's flesh. But, oh God, we pray that you'll take the weak, stumbling words of man. And Lord, with the power of God, the Holy Spirit, back them home to every wailing heart. Remember those who are watching our broadcasts online tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to those, Lord, that are still out of Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll minister to them. And Lord, that this night they'll come, even in their own homes, to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So do our hearts good, we pray. Remember again our land and our nation. Lord, we just look to thee this evening. Come, O God, we pray. And Lord, turn our land back to thee. Heavenly Father, heal our land physically. Heal our land spiritually. And Lord, we pray that there will be a turning to the Lord in these days. So bless us, we pray. Do our hearts good. May the Holy Spirit descend upon us. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we are delighted to welcome to Sandown our sister Sophie. Sophie, you're welcome back to Sandown. A pleasure to have you tonight. We're looking forward to having you. We're going to ask you to come and sing your first few pieces now. And the Lord bless you.
Turn around, turn around. wasted years. Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayed, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus laid. Silent as he stood accused, behold the empty tomb, and bowing to the Father's will, he took a crown of thorns. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where your love poured out over me. Sent of heaven, God's own Son, to purchase and redeem, and reconcile the very ones who nailed him to that tree. Oh, that rugged cross, my salvation, where
Sophie, thank you so much tonight for those lovely messages and song. Thoroughly enjoyed them, blessing to our hearts. And I trust that as you've been a blessing to us already tonight, that we will be a blessing to you. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you in just a moment's time. But let me at this stage welcome you all along to our evening worship service. We're glad to have you in God's house tonight. We pray the Lord will bless us all as we gather in the house of God. Tonight, to those who are visiting with us, we extend to you a very special welcome, and always a joy and delight to have visitors with us. We trust that you feel at home with us tonight here in Sandown. Let me go through the announcements just at this stage in the will of the Lord for the week that lies before us. On Tuesday night, there is the Online Explorers Club, 7 o'clock on our Facebook Live page, and plan to tune in, please. And do make that known to others, as many as possible. Make it known of that special Online Explorers Club every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Thursday night, then, here in the church, is our discipleship course that will continue, followed by the season of prayer at 8 p.m. St. Nick's Lord's Day, the service at the normal time. We have our morning worship at 11:30 and our gospel service at 6:30. We also have our Sunday school here in Sandown and Bible class at 10:15, and also our outreach Sunday school in Hollywood at 2:30 next Sunday as normal. Do remember those who are unwell in the congregation. Pray for the Lord's healing hand upon them at this time, and that they all will know the touch of the Master's hand being upon them. I want to thank you again for your giving to the missionary work. Last week, £825.69. Also, there was the total received for our brother, Mr. Andrew Foster, came to £667, and for the Nepal vehicle, paid £250. And that's exceptional giving by you all. I want to thank you sincerely for your kindness for that. We remind you again of the shoebox appeal. Our church committee have teamed up with Serve Youth, our brothers Phil Horton and Chris Killen. And we encourage you, if you haven't already got one of these little leaflets, take them with you. And if you can help, that certainly would be appreciated. This is to provide shoeboxes with gifts for children who would not normally and probably wouldn't receive a gift at Christmas. They're parents whose lives have been ruined, sadly, by various addictions, and particularly those in the New Hope Residential Centre that our brother Chris Killen works with there in Dublin. And so this is to provide them with a little gift at Christmas time, something that they can open on Christmas Day. All the details are on the little card there, and also as well there will be at the back of the card a tick to show you which age group to go for, whether and also whether it's a boy or a girl, and so you can tailor your gifts and what you put into your shoebox according to that. If you have any queries, please do speak to our secretary, our brother John Kennedy, please. And if we could have them all back, please, by this day fortnight, that is Sunday the 29th of November. And if you could do that, that would be appreciated, because Phil wants to get them all sorted and then delivered after that. So if you can get them back to us by the end of this month, that would be appreciated. You can fill as many shoeboxes as you wish, one or others, that will not be a problem. And the items there, some gift ideas to put in it, are on the card as well. It will all be used and all will be appreciated. Just remind you, there are no offerings being lifted during the services, but you can place your offerings and tithes in the boxes there as you leave from the downstairs and also as you leave from the gallery. Just before our sister Sophie comes to minister to us in song, I want to read from the scriptures this evening from the little book of Titus. Titus and the chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. All the T's in the New Testament, there's Thessalonians, Timothy, and then the little book of Titus. Should have said as well, we're glad to have those who are welcoming or joining us online through our various broadcasts tonight. And we welcome you tonight from wherever you are joining us. But let's read together from Titus chapter 2, and just the last few verses of this chapter together, verse 11 through to verse 15. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the short reading of his word. At this stage, we're going to ask Sophie to come and sing for us again. Thank you very much.
He called.
Sophie, for your help tonight in our meeting. We certainly have appreciated that. It's been a blessing. And I want you to listen to the challenge that has been brought before you already in song tonight. How do you know? How do you know? The thing is, you don't know. Your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. We're going to turn back to Titus chapter 2. Pray the Lord continues to bless you, Sophie, as you continue to work and minister for Him. Titus chapter 2, the verse 13. Look tonight at the subject, a better day is coming. A better day is coming. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. With the Word of God open before us, can I ask again if you can stand with us, please, in a word of prayer, just to change your position as we come to the Word of the Lord. Eternal God and our Father, we thank Thee for a very real sense of Thy presence with us tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for help given to Sophie. She's ministered to us in song. Oh God, we pray that You'd be pleased to use those words that have been brought to us tonight to speak to hearts. We pray, Lord, You'll continue to use Thy servant, Lord, as she administer and work for the Savior. Heavenly Father, we pray now that as we come around the Scriptures of truth, Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts. We pray, Lord, that tonight there might be a very particular sense of the divine presence. We pray, Lord, that You'll speak tonight. May the voice of the Lord be heard. Far beyond the voice of any preacher, may we hear Thy voice tonight, we pray. Most of all, we pray that tonight, in this meeting out of Christ, may they hear the effectual call of salvation. We pray, Lord, that tonight You'll bring them to Thyself. By irresistible grace, arrest them, stop them in their tracks. We pray, Lord, that tonight, ere they cross over God's deadline, may they come to experience God's salvation. Answer prayer. Continue on with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. So I don't think any of us will ever want to live through another year like this year. The year the world stopped. The year our lives changed and came to a sudden halt. Today we are still living in very uncertain, very difficult days. And no doubt the rest of this winter will continue to be a challenge. Yet we must remind ourselves of what the Scriptures tell us. And how often do we read in Scripture after a period of trouble and tribulation? There's that little phrase that we spoke upon the very first Lord's Day we came back after our period of lockdown. And it came to pass. Those times of trouble, those times of upheaval, those times of uncertainty, there was the great truth that they would come to pass. They hadn't come to stay. And these days in which we're living tonight, they've come to pass. They've come to pass for a reason. But they have not come to stay. I know that in many lives tonight, in many hearts, in many homes, in many families, there's so much concern and so much worry. It seems that the 8 months since March have been 8 long years, and as we face towards the end of this year, it looks like things are still going to remain uncertain and unknown. Yet I must also believe that all of this will come to pass. That this period in our lives that we're living through right now and have lived through has come to pass and will come to pass, but not to stay, that a better day is coming. Much has been made in the media this week about the rollout of a new vaccine, which to many has brought hope and light in the dark tunnel. Also better understanding of the virus itself and better treatments with those who are taken with it give certainty more so than there was back even in March. But you see, my hope for the future, my hope that all of this will come to pass and that one day normality will return in some sense, my earnest hope and my earnest belief that that will be the case lies not in the wisdom or in the ability of man. It lies in the nature of our God. That our God who is merciful, our God who is loving, and our God who in His sovereign plan and purpose brings all things to pass according to His great will, I do genuinely believe that a better day is coming. Yet tonight, for the moments that remain in this gospel service, I don't want to talk about a better day possibly next year. Or the year after. I want us to focus tonight on the best day. The day that is yet to be. No matter when the day will come when COVID-19 will be controlled and our lives will return to normal. No matter when that day might be, yet there is a far greater day. A far better day. Yes, a day unknown, but yet a day unsurpassed. The day that is described there in Titus 2, verse 13, the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What a day that will be. What a day it'll be when the Savior will burst the heavens. He will return. What a day it will be for all who are saved when we see our Savior face to face. That will be the best day. But before I go any further tonight, yes, as far as the Christian is concerned, those who are saved, that will be the best day. But you see, tonight, for those that are still out of Christ and still without Christ and still without the Savior, that day will be your worst day. Dear sinner, tonight I want you to take the worst day you've ever had in your life thus far. And I want you to multiply it by 100 times 100. And you'll not even begin to get anywhere near how awful that day when the Savior comes will be for you. That day when you stand before the Savior. That day when the judge of all the earth shall open the books. And that day when because of your rebellion and because of your rejection, you'll be cast out into outer darkness. That will be the worst day. But here's the thing, it'll only be the beginning of the worst day. Because for all eternity, your soul lost in hell. It is my prayer, the earnest desire of every Christian tonight in this meeting, that as we go through this verse this evening, that you will realize that if you still are without Christ on that day, that that will be your worst day. But by the grace of God tonight, it can be your best day. If you will but come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. A better day is coming. I want us to see, first of all, then, the anticipation of that day. The anticipation of that day. Paul writing here in verse 13, he says, looking for that blessed hope. Paul says there should be an anticipation for the day when Jesus comes again. You see, we should not just simply be looking for that day when we get our lives back and when we are able to mix freely again and we're able to go without restrictions in our life. Folks, that's only living for time. We must be living in eternity. And especially for the child of God in the midst of this health crisis in our nation and across our world, we must not lose sight of this fact. One day this world will come to an end. One day this earth will pass away. That a new creation, praise God, is coming. That a better day is coming. That there will come a day when no one will die, not just of COVID-19, or a day when no one will be sick, or a day when there'll be no viruses, and a day there'll be no sickness. That day when this world passes away, and the new earth and the new creation comes. That's how we should be living. Living with an eye to Christ's coming. Are we looking forward to that day? Are we anticipating that day? Does it rejoice our soul tonight that even in the spite of all the darkness and all the gloom that there is around us, that we rejoice tonight that there is a better day coming? Not a day when there will be no more viruses, but a day when Jesus Christ will come. Humanly speaking, none of us want to leave this world. Humanly speaking, none of us want to lose our family or let go of our friends in death. But one day we'll all pass the way of death. One day we'll all take our last step. One day we'll all breathe our last breath. One day, someday, a better day is coming. As we consider the anticipation of that day, there is to be patience. That word looking there, it talks about an earnest desire. That even though this day hasn't yet come, that we are still longing for it, that we're still living in the light of the reality. Have we lost the truth tonight? That Jesus Christ is coming again. Have we lost that wonderful rejoicing of our souls that our Savior is coming back? And the Lord said He would come again. And just because He hasn't come yet doesn't mean He isn't coming. And there must be patience and a waiting that day. We're all, you see, in God's waiting room, saint and sinner alike. We long that He would come. We long that He would be done with this old world, but He'll not come a minute too early. He'll not come a minute too late. There is to be patience as we anticipate that day. But there is also to be perseverance as we anticipate that day. You see, while we wait for the coming of Christ, we must persevere in the things of God. Look at verse 12. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Even though we live in an ungodly world, even though we live tonight in a society that wants nothing to do with the Lord, even though tonight we live in a nation which has turned its back on the Lord, that doesn't mean that we turn our back on the Lord. That doesn't mean that we give up on our living or service for the Lord. The very fact that Christ is coming again ought to be the greatest motivation in our living for Christ. Because you and I will give an account. Yes, the unsaved will give an account. But every child of God will stand before God to give an account. Give an account of what we've done for the Savior. I will give an account of what I've done. That's a sobering thought. And in light of that, we should strive to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Christian, today, are you seeking to live for God? Work for the Lord, serve Him. Sadly, we live in a world that denies the coming again of Christ. You speak to many tonight. You go out onto the streets of the Newton Arch Road tonight. And you speak to them about the fact that Christ is coming, they'll laugh. Or maybe they'll joke and they say, well, we've heard that story before. He's been coming, but sure He hasn't come yet. And you see, because tonight people think that Christ isn't coming, they believe it gives them a license to live as they please, do as they want. You see, tonight the problem in our society, and if you're here without Jesus Christ in this meeting tonight, still unsaved, you are living as if Christ isn't coming again. You are living as if Christ doesn't matter. You are living as if you'll never stand to give an account before Him. You think you can live your life without Christ, die without Christ, and not make any difference. Oh, that tonight you'd realize that the coming of Christ, its reality, its truth, has an impact upon you. That you are accountable to God. That one day you will stand to give an account. And oh, that today you were wise, that you would understand this, that you would consider your latter end. Oh, that tonight you would stop and think, if Christ were to come tonight, how would it be? If Christ were to burst the skies tonight, and folks, that's a possibility. I don't believe in charts and diagrams all tracing the thing out. Because no man knoweth the day of His coming. If Christ were to come tonight, where would you be? How are you before God tonight? Because you see, that day when Jesus comes, it'll be too late for you then. That day, that glorious appearing of Jesus Christ for the unsaved, There'll be no more invitations. There'll be no more mercy. There'll be no more gospel preaching. All hope will be gone. And you'll realize that all you had was living for the day, living for what you can get, storing up wealth in this world, and you've got nothing to offer. Remember, we've brought nothing into this world. It sure will take nothing out. There's only one thing that you will take with you from this world into eternity, and that is your soul. Your soul that lives, never dies. Because when your body is lowered into Mother Earth, you will have a soul that will have departed into eternity, either for God's heaven or for God's hell. You could gain all this world has to offer. You could be well set up in this world and yet lose your own soul. Therefore, tonight, as we anticipate that day, for the child of God is a blessed hope, it's a blessed anticipation. But listen, sinner, tonight, I want you to anticipate that day like never before. And I want you to see that if Christ were to come tonight, you would be judged, you would be damned. Therefore, in time, come to Christ. Because as Sophie sang earlier, how do you know? How do you know? But your soul may be drifting. Maybe there's someone this evening. You can relate to that first message and song that Sophie brought to us, Wasted Year. Wasted opportunities. You've played the fool all your life. You've thought you can get through life without Jesus Christ, and all you've done is wasted your life. Because the only thing tonight for those who are unsaved, the only thing you have to look forward to tonight is a lost eternity. Therefore, tonight, make that preparation. Come to Jesus Christ tonight and be saved. Because Christ is coming again. There's the anticipation of that day. But I want you to see as well here, secondly, the appearance on that day. The appearance on that day. Verse 13 says, "And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Now, there are those who will teach us that this verse 13, speaks about two different comings of Christ, the blessed hope and then the glorious appearing, the rapture and then the return. I believe that Christ will come once. And he'll not return to this world silently. He'll not return to this world quietly. But as we'll see, he'll return to this world once triumphantly. He shall appear. There is one appearing of Christ in view here in verse 13. Christ's appearance, I want you to see, first of all, there it'll be visible. The word appearing, it means to reveal. It means to unravel. And the Lord will reveal himself from heaven. And the Lord will burst the skies. And the Lord will come down. And the Lord shall appear. One day we are all going to see the Savior. One day every individual born on this earth will see the Savior. Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Every eye shall see him." His appearing, it'll be personal. He's not going to send his angel. He's going to come himself. His appearing will be physical, because he will appear in that same body with which he left this world. Although now glorified, that same body in which he left this earth, in the might of olives, that same physical appearance of Christ we will see on that day of his second coming. It'll be visible. But I want you to see as well, his appearing will be victorious. You see, when Christ came the first time, we are coming up to that time of the year. Yes, I'm going to say it, Christmas. We need something to cheer us up. Maybe you've got your Christmas tree up. The Lord bless you. Hopefully it's put off for a little while in our house, but I doubt it. But the Lord came the first time in great humility. He came as a little babe. He came to a lowly stable. But the second time Christ comes, he will come victorious. Notice the term that is used there at the end of verse 13, the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's terms used to describe the same person. It's referring to Christ, who is God. There's his deity there affirmed, the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The name Jesus given to him at his birth, there's his humanity. Christ will come, the judge of all the earth. He will come victorious. He will come and one day put an end forever and finally to the reign of Satan's kingdom. And Satan will be banished to hell forever, and will finally, all the saints of God will finally be delivered from the power and presence of sin. He will come victorious. Every knee shall bow before him. The first time Christ appeared, came, he came as Savior. And tonight he's still your Savior. Tonight, sinner, in this meeting, Jesus Christ is still your Savior. He came on the basis of grace. We see that in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. He came in grace to be your Savior. But you see, the second time he's coming, he's not coming to save the world. He's coming to judge the world on the basis of his glory. And he's coming to judge you. And you will not escape. Oh yes, you'll cry on the rocks and the mountains to fall upon you. The one thing that you will want that day is to flee from the presence of the Lord, the great judge of all the earth. But it will not happen. You will be brought to account and you will stand before him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every individual in this meeting will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all receive the deeds done in the body. In other words, we'll all stand before the Savior to give an account of what we've done with him. Whether we have rejected him or whether we have received him. Glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. As he appears as judge, we all will appear. We will all stand before him. Thank God tonight for those that are saved. We do not fear the judgment seat of Christ, because judgment has been met in Christ for our sin. We've received Jesus Christ. We haven't turned away from the gospel. We have accepted the work of Christ and the cross as our only hope. But for those who are still out of Christ and still in their sin, they will be judged. They will be judged in a lost, damned hell. And for all eternity, for those who are still unsaved at the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, for all eternity you will be judged in hell constantly, continually, and there is no release. You will be judged personally. But the great message of the gospel tonight is that Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary took that judgment, endured the wrath of God, paid the price, that when you stand before Him, you would stand in Christ. That brings us then to the assurance of that day. Verse 14. What is the assurance tonight that we have a better day coming? What is the assurance tonight that for those who are saved will go to be with Christ? What is the assurance tonight for those who are lost will be damned on that day when Christ will come? Well, that assurance pivots in verse 14. Verse 14, who gave himself, speaking of Christ, for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. You see, tonight, the assurance of the coming of Christ is all based on the finished work of Christ in the cross. The cross of Christ is the defining point in every life. You see, what you do with Christ, what you do with this finished work, the one who gave himself that he might redeem you from all iniquity, what you do with him will determine what he does with you. You receive him. You by faith turn from your sin and accept Jesus Christ and be saved. On that day he will receive you. But you see, you reject the work of Christ. You try to be saved and try to get to heaven some other way than the way of the cross. You reject the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. On that day of his glorious appearing, he will reject you. He came to redeem a people, purchase a people back to himself. And his second coming is to bring those who have received Jesus Christ, those who are redeemed, to bring them home to glory. And forever we shall be with the Lord. But he will also come to judge those who are still rejecting and still turning their back on the Savior. Christ has gone to prepare a place in heaven. But he says, I'll come again. And for the Christian tonight, what a blessed hope. This world's not our home. We're just passing through, but for a little time. And you see, this blessed hope tonight, this hope of a better day coming, is not some bland, wishful thinking. It's the hope of the gospel. It's real hope. It's Christian hope. It's the gospel hope. It's a sure hope. Because it's not based on what I have done or what you have done or what any man can do. It's all based on what Christ has done there in verse 14, who gave himself. My hope for heaven tonight is based on Jesus Christ and his finished work, and nothing else. What is your hope for heaven tonight? What is it tonight you're depending on to get you to heaven? Maybe it's your own good living, your charitable deeds, your moral life, your church attendance, Listen, if you have never been saved, all other hope is vain. If you've never come to Jesus Christ, all other hopes are hopeless. The only thing you can plead before the Savior on that day is what He did, the cross of Calvary. Christ is our hope, yes, in life, but thank God also in death. Is He your hope tonight? Can you say tonight in the words of that lovely hymn, "In Christ alone my hope is found"? Can you? How would it be with your soul if tonight the Savior were to come? You say, well, all these things have to happen. Listen, we're living in the last days, and you can term them the last of the last days, and whatever other term you want to use. We've been living in the last days from the Savior went back to heaven. And He can come in a moment. How would it be with you? The Bible tells us of a man who put his hope in all his possessions. Man who was rich, a man who had plenty, and he wanted to expand his worldly empire. He made every plan for living. Problem is, he made no plans for dying. Is that you tonight? Making your plans, wanting to have as comfortable a life as possible, looking after your family, all those things are totally right and proper. But have you made a plan for dying? Because the Lord said to that man, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And what shall these things be? And sinner, what of this night? What of this night before you had ever put your head on your pillow, that the Lord would require your soul and you'd be ushered out into eternity? All hope then gone. Lord calls such an individual a fool. Oh, don't be a fool tonight. Rather tonight come and receive Jesus Christ. Tonight be ready for that day when He would come. Child of God, rejoice, a better day is coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. Dear sinner, tonight, if you don't have this blessed hope, if you're not saved tonight, then get to Christ. Come before it's too late. And don't leave it any longer. Don't go out again in the darkness of the night to go out into the darkness of hell. But come tonight. He is your Savior still this evening. Tonight He still calls you. He invites you. Come. He's your Savior. But one day, He will be your judge. Looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You can deny it all you want, but listen, that day will come. Make preparation for that day, this day. Be saved. Be saved now. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Before we sing our closing hymn this evening, I issue an invitation to you to Consider what we have heard tonight. Not what you've heard from the words of this preacher, but what you've heard from the Lord. I believe the Lord is speaking. The Holy Spirit is striving with someone tonight. You know that if you were to go out into eternity still in your sin, you'd go to a lost eternity. Why would you not come tonight to Christ? Why would you not make that preparation? What is it that's holding you back? Would you not come tonight and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And then you'll be able to say, I am looking for that blessed hope. My hope is in Christ tonight. Come to Him. If I can help you in any way, speak to us. But whatever you do tonight, don't put it off anymore. Don't trifle with the matter of your soul salvation any longer. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you be pleased to bless thy word to our hearts. Oh, speak tonight. We pray, Lord, for the striving voice of God to be heard. We, Lord, pray for the convicting power of the Spirit of God to be at work. Lord, save, we pray. Bring the lost to thyself. Yet, O God, we thank thee tonight for all who are saved. What a blessed hope we have. That one day this world will pass away. That new heaven and that new earth will come to pass. We will be with Christ for all eternity. In that place where there is no more sickness or dying, no more sadness, no more tears. Help us, O God, until that day to live patiently, to be persevering in the Christian life, that we might live godly, soberly, righteously in this present world. And yet we pray tonight for those still out of Christ. May they come this evening. May they come and be ready and make that preparation. Answer prayer, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.